life. I ever wake up, there wasn't somebody there that you picked up off the street. Never, one day in my whole life. Never remember. One time she picked up a girl and brought her home. She couldn't talk English. Some man had, brought her here and left her in America. And he went on about his business, and this little girl had a baby. His little baby was retarded. My mother kept that girl, and this girl had, I didn't know it. I was unsaved, and God helped me. I'm glad I didn't know it, but she had a bunch of money, had in a trunk. Some time to go home when that baby was doctored as far as they could take it, and they took it back to Venezuela. I remember that girl coming years and years later, married to a fine man, and told my mother how that she had been saved at her home, and how she wanted to thank her for what she had done for her. The telephone used to ring at Christmas at her house. People would call from all over the land. Miss Wood, I was raised by you. Mama didn't know nothing about deputation. She had a good sewing machine, and so she could cook. God knows she could cook. But my mother raised two boys beside me, and always thought they was my brother. I never didn't know any different. I got big, and I found out she just picked them up somewhere. Amen. But I was raised in the rescue mission work. When I got saved, the only thing I know to do is start looking for something. And Brother Roloff came to hold me a meeting in 1955, and he helped me revive a meeting, and while he was there, he said, what in the world is all these men doing around here? Well, boy, Jack, I was just a little boy. And Brother Roloff said, what's all these men here? I said, we just got a rescue mission. And so he was there with me for a while, and he said, why don't we just start us a place called... we just build us a place and put these men. I said, well, I got a deacon here to give the land. So he gave us 80 acres of land. We started the old City of Refuge in Texas when it started. So I've been to rescue mission work all along. When I see somebody like Barry get saved, it rejoices in my heart.
Amen.
You said, well, Brother Wood, I noticed, you know, people have told me for years, said, you know, you don't have any sense. I said, am I supposed to?
Yeah.
When you've been through what we've been through, how much sense you really supposed to have?
Yeah.
You said, Brother Wood, you've done some crazy things. If you just only knew. You only knew. Well, I remember the night so well I burned the church down. Man, I mean, that was a wonderful night. I didn't know it, though. I didn't intend to burn it. Remember that, Jack? I blowed the church up. I didn't mind. And the guy just told me he's going to preach on hell and asked me to put a little cup of gas in there. I put a little cup of gas. I thought, well, you know, a cup would help. Maybe put about a gallon in there, you know? So here it is. On Sunday morning, we're closing out revival. House just packed with sinners like it is in here. We can seat about 500 in the old tabernacle. And lo and behold, I got me a barrel about a half a barrel. And I didn't know they'd been putting that black stuff up on the top of the roof, that tire. And so I put that gallon of gas in there and let it soak there for about an hour while he was preaching. And he said, hell, and that was my time to throw the match. That can just got to walking. It got to walking. Smoke was coming out of the back. We thought we was at Hiroshima, man. Man, I couldn't get the black boogers out of my nose for a year. Man. Everybody in Houston said, he's crazy. My mother was sitting there, and my dad, they were members of my church, and they said, amen. Crazy. I asked the people to pray one time. They wouldn't pray. I kept trying to get them to pray. I got ahead of myself. We got through with all that smoking, and I was trying to find R.J. He's dead in heaven tonight. I was trying to find R.J., and I couldn't find it. Too much smoke, man. I mean, this building is smoke. Say, we moved, man. It was still smoke. But there were 29 sinners down there getting saved. Either that or they had the hell scared out of one. But I asked them to pray one night. They wouldn't pray, and I didn't know. I'd had a Christian school then. That's been, you know, 30-something years ago, and I had these two baby firecrackers about that big. Looked like a dollar cigar, you know, that big. Had them in my pocket. I took away from one of them kids. Had them in my pocket and asked these people to praise on Wednesday night. None of them wouldn't pray. Wouldn't even bow their head. And finally I said, just bow your head. And I'm walking and looking at all, and they all bowed their head, and I stood off with them firecrackers. I've done some crazy things. You said, what effect did that have? You ought to saw them. A lot of effect on them. I've done some crazy things in my life. You said, you ever repent of it? No. I didn't even have sense enough to repent. Now it's been so long ago, I forgot it. Amen. Turn in your Bible, please, in Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And the Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded. Now, this chapter is dealing with, you know, being like-minded, having the mind of God and liking it. Having the same love, being of one accord. See, we're back. And of one mind. God wants us to be one-minded people. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowness of mind. Lowness of mind. Some people have said, you know, and they've made this comment. They said, you know, Brother Wood has done a good work in Houston. Let me tell you something. I got a woman in my church, 83 years old. Brother Billy Allen stayed there at that lady's home, him and Bob Sinsat, years ago. Dr. Bob Sinsat, he's sick tonight and dying. And Brother Bob Sinsat said, that's one of the greatest weeks of my life, to stay in that home. This old lady at that time was spending about 65 or 70 hours a week out there in visitation and working and getting people saved. She's 83 now. She can barely visit 40 hours a week. But that's the honest truth of the Lord. Now, I got about 12 or 13 of my men with me. That's the truth. We just had a meeting, and Sunday morning, six folks were saved, and two or three of them she brought. And I said, some of you people run around here and look what she ain't gonna do nothing. It's her. Then she's got an old crazy boy. He ain't got no sense at all. Brother Avery over here, he's been staying over there with Brother Dean. And he's been staying over there. He found out some things. A preacher came there, Brother Joe Price, a real friend of mine all through the years, from Dallas. And he stayed with Brother Dean. About halfway, about 12 o'clock at night, Brother Dean said, well, you ready to go visiting? He said, at 12 o'clock at night? He said, yeah. He said, the people I deal with just getting up.
Yeah, come on.
You see, a couple like that will make any sorry preacher look pretty good. Yeah, it'll make anybody look pretty good. There's over there, and that Abraham has got this big old boy, and I mean, he's 6'3" or 6'4", and he's down there 24 or 5 years old, Abraham, right?
20 years old.
20 years old. Big old boy. He said to Brother Avery, after about 4 days on that hard preaching, old Edgar Thomas lands on his back, he said, man, you know, he said, if I get saved, he said, man, you're a preacher. He said, I can help lead the saints. I'm even dead sinner. And I walked out of the church the other night, and I said, well, son, how's everything? He said, I'm not saved, but you pray for me. He's just about that far. You said, if I'd have been there, I'd have led him to the Lord. I'm glad you wasn't there. He's heading the right direction right now. Yes. I found out a long time ago. I won't say it. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in the lowness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing. Don't it kind of bother you? You know, you go into town, you say, you know, so-and-so lives here, and you're in that town, and you say, I wonder, you know, if I could see this guy. And the pastor says, he doesn't see anybody. He's a very important man. And he's a preacher. You're too important to take company, comes in the town. I made God a promise. After I'd been preaching about 3 years, I don't care who drives into my town, that front door is open. Come on in, boy. You'd just be surprised how many people you'd be a blessing to if you take that that sign off the door of the pastor.
Yeah, everybody.
Oh, shoot on that stuff.
Amen.
Amen. The president. The vice president. The custodian. I never knew what that was, I got to say. I got me a job, the only reason I knew it. I found out I was a janitor. Amen. Well, we ain't going to shout tonight now. Look not everything on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It didn't say lead yours out, but every man also on the things of others. When you get wrapped up in a good preacher friend of mine, the preacher friend of mine wrote me a little letter, a little sarcastic letter. I'll be down there with him this week. But anyway, he wrote me a little letter, and I wrote him a letter back. I answered him. I said, if you wasn't my friend, I wouldn't even answer this. Didn't he? You listen to me? I don't know. I don't know how much, Brother Louie, I don't know how much I've sinned a month here. I don't know. Is it $3,000 or $4,000 or something? They said, you and word for the world. I'm like Brother Homer. I send about 60% of my money all over the world. Yeah. Is that right, Brother Sonny? I just send you $1,000 a month. You're sending me.
Amen.
You say, why do you send him $1,000? Ain't none of your business.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, we need a God. Yeah, like-minded. I just went down and visited that work and let God lay it on my heart, and I helped them about $50 a month. I looked at it. Then I helped them $100 the next 3 years later, and I looked at it. Then I helped them $200. Then I helped them $400. And then I got up to $400. I said, you know, I got a good investment here. You know how you do when you got a savings, you know, you keep putting something in there. And finally, I walked up to Brother Sonny one night and I said, we'll just send you $1,000. He said, $1,000 a month. I said, yeah, you got 32 preacher boys. Who's going to feed them? I'd watch the work grow. I saw the needs. I saw them hundreds of souls getting saved. I ain't been nowhere on no mission field in the world where I saw that many people saved as I have that. And so, you know, Papa said,
good.
Now let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, would you pour me a glass of water there? I'm supposed to go get him one. Mike didn't go get him. One young preacher one time threw the glass out there and knocked over and told Brother Lackey, he said, get me a drink. I stood up and said, get your own drink, sucker. Right in the congregation, you said, you shouldn't do that. It helped him. He quit preaching and got out of the ministry. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This Bible speaks about being like-minded. This Bible speaks about this mind.
Yeah.
Talks about God's mind.
Yeah.
And your mind somehow coming together. Yeah. That's what the Bible is speaking of. You remember over in Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. when this man got saved, he had his right mind, and he's sitting there with Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah. He's sitting in his right mind, and he's sitting there with Jesus. And he ain't saying, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you, Jesus. I'll go with you, Lord. And the Lord said, no, I don't need you. Didn't discourage him much.
Yeah.
Didn't discourage him much. But Jesus had his mind on the Father.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask you a question. Whose mind? What have you got your mind on? You said, Brother Wood, I got a church, and I'm wed to death about it. You get your mind on the Father, and the Father will get his mind on you, and everything will be fine. But you keep worrying about that church, and keep worrying about your ministry, and worrying about what you're going to do, and you'll wind up as backslid as you've ever been in your life. That's right. I'll tell you one thing. The little work I got, I can't maintain it. And if God don't maintain it, I don't need it. Let it die, let it die. And let's get up and sing, blessed be they that die the Lord. Amen. Amen. Jesus had his mind on his Father because he wanted to please his Father. Please his Father. Oh, my soul, this Bible said we done. Please him who has chosen us to be a soldier.
Yes.
Amen. We're to please God. We're not to get God to please us.
Yes.
The whole work of God today is trying to get God to please us. If you please God, you'll go down the road well pleased.
Yeah.
You remember that. You remember that.
Yeah.
That's the reason Jesus never was discouraged. He pleased the Father. Oh, yes. And I tell you, he didn't only want to please the Father, but he presented the Father to the world. Now, somebody said something. I taught a year in our Bible school on Jesus revealing the Father. I had me some ideas there, and I put them all together. And I took this thing, and somehow in that Old Testament, I don't see this Father cuddling his children and loving his children. I just don't find that. I mean, Israel's having a problem and God's having a problem with them. Looks like, you know, God's killing this one and a killing that one. And, but I get over that Old Testament and Jesus said, I come to reveal the Father. Thomas, have I been so long with you and you hadn't seen the Father? Huh? What's he doing, Brother Jack? He just trying to show him the Father. High thought. How he worked, what he thought about a sick man when he healed him, what he thought about a woman who didn't, a little boy laying there dead, and he raised him from the dead, that sinner girl, I saved him, and said, this way my Father does. Well, I tell you, get to reading that thing, get studying that thing. Well, I tell you, there's some things in there about Jesus revealing the Father. And in everywhere Jesus went, he promoted the Father's will. Isn't it strange sometimes? You get off on like this, I get to promote old Jack Wood. And this sucker here ain't worth being promoted. I tell you, I'm just sorry. But I've seen big signs. Coming here, the most spirit-filled evangelist in America. I don't want to hear him. I want to puke on him. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear him. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's really something to get in a meeting and God get to stirring around in that. And God get to revealing the Father.
Yeah.
Amen. And you get to seeing God the Father and what he can do. Amen. Some of you think you got saved. And since you're saved, now you're a red-headed stepchild. But that ain't true.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
I just got through with my meeting. You could not get a seat last week. I mean Friday night, you doing the singing, and that thing is packed wall to wall people, and you couldn't get in there. That building is 50-something feet wide, and they just packed in that building. So I looked around, there wasn't one preacher from Houston. I mean not one had been in the meeting, and one night, I run him off. Deliberately, I done it. I didn't want him to grieve the spirit.
Yes, sir.
Throw him off. Amen. Because there was a bunch of people out looking for God.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that fool sitting there grieving the spirit. Get out of here. Do you ever tell people to leave? Yeah, call them by their first name. Don't bother me a bit in the world. Don't bother me. I don't want them around. I put some preacher call all the preachers in town. You please come. Hey, man, they hate you. They hope God don't move down here. You tell them God moved, you say, how do you know? My earthly father walked in this building tonight. I know. I know. Jesus had his mind on his father. And let me say something else tonight. Just passing. Jesus had his mind on this book right here. Not only on that Old Testament, but writing that New Testament. Jesus had his mind on the book.
Amen.
Nowadays, I'm sorry now, you preachers, buckle your seat there. You go hold meetings for people, and they say, would you like to ride to the post office with me? And you would be back 3 hours late. They went to the post office, they went down by the school, they took Susie down there to take her piano lessons, and then they stopped by the hospital and they went in there, and here's a lady just bright as she'd be, and said, I'm going to have some tests. I ain't getting in my car driving 40 miles across Houston to visit you. How long you since you visited the hospital, Brother? Oh, about a year ago. I visited one, I think. What do people do when they get in your church? If they're sick, well, the Bible says you're sick, call for the elders of the church.
Right. Yeah.
And we go out there and pray for
them.
You can get in the hospital and sit there 30 years. I ain't coming out here. You said, how are you going to ever be a preacher? And I disagree with you. Who cares? I don't care. Brother Hank, he'd come visit you. He wants to. And then, Jack, I don't do that, do I? Not very often. You've been sick in the bed. I ain't going to see you. Hey, I get tired of hearing people tell me about how bad their ailments are. It makes me sick.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Yeah.
If you need me, call me.
Yeah.
You check in that hospital. Get out and say, I've got the worst case anybody's ever had, and you live 100 years. Doesn't matter to you. I'm sick and tired of all this. I'm sitting in this town, right here in this town. And Brother Bubba Key was killed. And that boy's home back there was out of our church. And Brother Bubba Key's body was laying here. Here come a guy. Come a fanny head and single. Well, he walked over to the door and brother standing there said, this is Brother Jack Wood. You know Brother Jack, he went to school with Jack. He said, excuse me, I have another one right down here.
He walked off to another box.
I've got another. You see a guy coming in the hospital room, here's going. He's got his little Bible on his feet. He's kind of walking a little funny, you know. I said, see that guy coming right down there? Who is it? I said, he's a preacher. He walks like a Baptist preacher. Do you know him? No, I don't know him. How do you know who he is? He got to one of the elevators, and the lady said, well, you got him so and so in the church over here? He said, just a man. He said, that I can tell the way he walks. Well, he carries his Bible. He's a religious idiot. My God. I mean, we are so used to putting on in the pulpit that we get to walking down the halls putting on. We go in the sick chamber putting on. Brother Bobby Cox called me and said, Brother Wood, my wife is dying. You get it. Listen, I laid in them floors and prayed for that woman. Ask God to raise her up.
Yes,
I'm not a heartless man, but I'm against foolishness.
Yes.
We could go back to church and go to work for God.
Amen.
Jesus had his mind on the book, the writing of it. I believe he had his mind on the living of it, too.
Amen.
We argued a lot about the writing of it. We ain't talking about the living. And furthermore, we're for the writing of it, but we're against the living of it. Brother Wood, do you believe the King James Bible? Yeah, and the Great Commission, too.
Amen.
Brother Jack, do you believe in the King James Bible? Yes. And a cleansed heart, too. A changed life, too. Oh, Brother Wood, I know he was saved. He was a wonderful preacher. Now he's a queer, but he's a wonderful preacher. Listen to me.
I just want you to come to me. I'm at camp meeting preaching, and a man is preaching with me, 50-something years old. His pastor's from Lord's Church. And he said, I had a fine young couple chained up, saved from me. And he said, the next Sunday they brought another couple with them, and the next Sunday they brought another couple with them.
And he said, that was three couples joined our church. And he said, 3 weeks later, I get a telephone call. An old woman said, is Paula and Daniel a member of your church? And give them the name. And this preacher, who I've known for 35 years, said, yes, they're members of my church. And this woman up and said, that one that calls herself Paul is my boy. His name is Paul. But Danny, the preacher looked at me, he was there, and asked me, he said, now what are we going to do with these people? He said, I don't care what you say, Brother Jack. They're saved. He said, what did you say to him? Nothing. I got up and moved from the table.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
He's an apostate.
Yeah.
We're going to have to make a place for him. Ain't a thing in the world but a mutilated man. No hope for him. You said, I think Jesus will save him. You're out of your mind. Jesus had his mind on the book. He testified of it to Satan. Every time the devil met him, Jesus met the devil with the book.
Yes.
Well, I know y'all ain't even relating to this. You think I made this story up? You want me to call? You want me to just stand up here and tell you who he is?
Yeah.
You want me to tell you that just about 90 days after he fell off with a woman and broke the best woman I've ever met by?
Come on, preacher.
Let me tell you something. You believe that junk? Will you believe a man like that saved? You're less than a moron,
eh?
You keep bullying up, I call his name. Jesus had his mind on that book. He taught the book in the temple. He trained men in this book right here. Are you listening to me? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He was a word made flesh. He taught the living of it. And then he taught about evangelizing the world with it. You see, this is what Jesus taught. And he said, I want you to be like-minded. A man stood up in this town, after I preached. I preached on missions. He said, that's Jack Woods' burden. That ain't Jack Woods' burden. That's God's burden.
Yeah, yeah, it's for real.
Ain't got nothing to do. I help out a little 10 or 15 of these Mexican boys down in Mexico. Ain't got nothing to do with Jack Woods' burden. That's the burden of God Almighty. And his son died. Not that Chattanooga could hear, but that the world could hear. And until you get that mind, you got the wrong mind. I was raised in a Christian home. And I remember as a little bitty boy, unsaved, never made a profession of faith when I was a child, for some reason. I remember going after bed with my mother. We start to pray. She'd get down to praying. And I'd say, Lord, help every missionary I was on the field. And Danny, as sure as you're sitting there tonight, when God saved me, the day that God saved me, I started praying for the missionaries. I was in a Southern Baptist church, and I try to find the missionaries' names and pray for those people. It was time I was saved 2 years. I was ended up to here in missions. I didn't get this burden day before yesterday. I didn't pray over the world day before yesterday. Jesus had his mind on the book. Let me go a step further. Jesus had his mind on the church. The missionaries, don't you misunderstand me. But I don't understand missionaries moving from church to church.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Let's think, you've been on the field 25 years?
27 years.
How long was you a friend of that church in Dallas?
11 years.
And his pastor. And you had to leave. I don't understand this business. People come into me and say, Brother Wood, I'd like to be a member of your church. I'm getting ready to go to the mission field. Mm-hmm. By the time they get to the mission field, they say, Brother Wood, I really appreciate all y'all done. But you know, I just always feel like that my letter was in Ohio, and I want to move my letter back by life. You know what I think, y'all? I think you're funny.
Yeah.
And I think you use me to float you over.
Come on.
And it probably didn't help you a bit. It probably hindered. So everybody comes out of church now and just asks me, what are you going to join here for? Was you looking for a pastor or a place to put your letter? But we don't need any letters. We need some lives around here, living lives.
Yeah.
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 Randy Everett, how long have you been on mission field? 13 years. Stand up, Randy. We went out of KD 13 years ago.
Yeah.
In this thing. I'm still tired after the church.
Yeah, man.
13 years ago, a Baptist preacher walked in my church on a Sunday morning, a Southern Baptist preacher comes to my church. That was him right there. And I preached on I watched the denomination die. And he came back that night, and I preached on religion on your way to hell. And God saved Randy Everett that night. And for 13 years, he's been in Mormon land. 13 years ago, one guy caught him a bus and rode all the way to Texas and said, you don't understand, you can't send him to Mormon land because he's a shouter. And them people out there don't like shouters. He said, he's a happy back. I said, I'd like to ask you a question, sir. How are y'all doing up there with an unhappy back? I said, maybe the happy Baptist will help you some. He said, yeah, but what you don't understand is when Brother Everett prays, when he gets down to pray, he gets that would be strange. I said, preacher, let me ask you a question. What is the fastest growing church in Mormon land? He said, the charismatic. I said, I wonder why. At least they act like they're happy.
Yeah.
At least they got a little joy about something.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
He said, well, I can't reason with you. And I'll be going on down the road, but he won't make it 6 months. You flew in from out there in Idaho, didn't you, Randy? 13 years ago.
Yeah.
You get on the radio every day. Crying over them Mormons, weeping over their souls. God opened the prison out there, preacher. Open the prison house. Open that prison house and let that boy go in that prison. And now them Mormons are. Randy, how many of them boys been saved in the last 30 days?
Five been saved.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like that preacher wrote me a letter and said I was mistaken about Brother Brown. I looked like I was off base. And he said, you know, but Brother Wood, he laughs when he preaches, and he preaches against women wearing breeches. He ain't gonna laugh!
Oh,
don't be doing that. You can't preach against them, right? You just got to give them one. Hey, them Mormons ain't no different than nobody else. Just preach the hell out of them. They ain't just nobody better. I told him, boy, you get out there, preach. Preach! You don't sneak up on them. You don't try to catch them like you do a bird in a snare. Preach the word of God. God the Savior. Let God save.
They call the head of the lady, head lady, the Mormon school. They got about 10,000 students in there. 80,000. He called and asked me, said,
could I come up there and talk to you about the Bible? And she said, oh, yes.
He went up a lane, up to her house, walked inside. Here sat that woman. He sat down. And she had a $300,000 house. He began to tell that woman about Christ. And how did Jesus die for? She said, you're the first Baptist that's ever come here that didn't want to argue. He said, lady, would you just let me tell you how Baptist preachers like them with hell? She said, tell me.
How about that?
And he told her. You know, all the people in that town is his friends.
Yeah, that's right.
You know the only enemies he's got in that town?
Come on. Come on,
they're independent Baptists.
Right.
One independent Baptist said, we can't use your wife to teach school. They kind of put Randy in a kind of a bind. So, you know, Randy just stayed right there. And you know what the Mormons did? They went up there and walked their kids and then buy stuff and then like
that. How
about
you?
Just
like a
fine
family. Yeah!
Hallelujah.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, you can say it pretty, can't you? But let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus loved the church. You see, he gathered all that material to build it with. And then he said, upon this rock, I will build a church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, yeah. He loved the church. He gave his life for the church. I'm going to tell you something on the day of Pentecost. He empowered the church. And on the day of Pentecost, I'm going to tell you something else. He excited the church about a lost world.
Yeah.
They come out of there. They weren't running out there floating with power, talking in some tongue nobody could understand. They were talking in tongue everybody understood.
Yeah.
They were excited. They were excited to go down the road and build other churches.
Amen.
Oh, my soul. I like this. You say you're boring me, Brother Wood. Yeah. I'm trying to. Trying to bore plumb through you. Amen. Jesus had his mind on the church. His mind on the church. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind. Jesus had his mind on this world.
You know, preacher, 90% of places I preach, people are mad at sinners.
Yeah.
I go down and tell my street preachers, and I got a bunch of them.
Come on.
I tell them, you get up there and be belligerent to them people, I will literally whoop you myself.
Yeah.
One that I can't whip, I tell Jeff.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, park right there. Boy.
You know what we do? Downtown Houston. Jeff, you come back to the mission and got saved. This man would play 3 year basketball for Kansas. This man came to Houston and went to work for Texaco Austin. And they offered him a retirement during that big crash we had down there. And he took all that money and got it on the street and just went to the death. He walked in that rescue mission.
You saw somebody that loved him and cared about
him.
Yes, God saved.
Yeah.
You know, the way we do it, we do it just for somebody. We go out on the curb and we sit in.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
If the drunk says,
Amen.
And we say, good morning, Sally. How are you?
Oh,
you said they're filthy and vile. I hadn't saved you. I never saw this in my life.
Amen.
I go up to a place up there trying to rent an old hotel. It was dilapidated. We got out and there was 8 hookers standing out in the front. One of my men had pulled up just like that, and she was over beating on the door, this hooker was. But Dan, he stepped out, and everybody knows Brother Dan.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Preacher Dan. He's only well since he got sick. And Dan, he drove up there, and me and Dan got out. And she said, he put her hands up, and she said, oh, no. She seen all these men getting out. She said, Brother Dan, is this one of your men? He said, that girl's face turned as red as blood. I bet that's the first time she's been embarrassed and
ashamed.
She said, Preacher Dan, pray. I'm sorry.
How about that?
Yeah. Brother Wood, if you ever saw anything be saved, it's like that.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
How about
it? Amen, brother. Preach.
My soul.
Friends
of sinners. Not ugly.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you said, Brother Wood, I tell you, we just get up and blister them and burn them. They're going to burn better, but you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You said, you know what them people do? Oh, yeah,
sure.
Mm-hmm. See, we see them girls coming there all the time. 19. Just come back from the hospital crying, come in there, sit down all. Said, I got AIDS. One boy walking the other day, 24, 5 years old, I got AIDS. We took 15 away and gave them a test, 5 of them had it. You don't love them, who is?
Yeah. Amen, preacher. Park right there.
There's a bunch of people. A bunch of politicians. Oh my God. God help them. Nobody else can.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus had his mind on the world. He was condemned, he was chained, and he knew it.
Amen.
He began by preaching to them. I believe the greatest love can be manifested if you stand right there in the middle of them.
Yeah.
Tell them Jesus died. Then he began to act. There was acts of mercy. He healed one. He forgave one. He changed a little old prostitution.
Yeah.
He raised the dead.
Yeah.
It's acts of mercy.
Yeah.
Sometimes them guys walk up to old Dan. Dan has $2. Shorty said, Dan, you got any money? He has $2. You want Shorty, one for me. Thank you. What's he going to do with it? I don't know. I really don't even care. Wonder what, isn't it strange? There's nothing said about those guys Jesus raised in the dead.
Yeah.
I mean, he had acts of mercy.
You mean, Brother Wood, you take them wrong about your house?
I'm telling you tonight that your Lord come to this earth because he loves the world.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the whole globe. Brother Roy Carter Salas got him pulled his men up there for a bunch of Mexican brothers. Tell you this. He got him, he said, you know, I've looked across that Rio Grande, He said, God spoke to me the other day that us Mexican brethren are so concerned about our Mexican brethren, we let the rest of the world do without. And he said, from this day forward, he had $104,000 missionaries in his church, in the Spanish-speaking church in Houston. He said, we're going to do the whole world.
Hallelujah.
You better be careful about those pet mission people. Jesus set his mind on the world. And I really don't care what you think about it. He ended it all by dying for the perishing. And folks, we can't die to our ambition. I had a man walk up to me the other day and he said, Brother Wood, I've been in evangelism 15 years now. What am I going to do if I have a stroke? I said, what you doing now? He said, I got a family. What am I going to do? Oh, I said, I guess you could let the same God take care of you. That's what John Hooker asked his wife in 1500. It burned him at the stake, and his wife said, John, what's me and these 10 kids going to do? Who's going to take care of us? He said, the same God that fed you yesterday.
Amen. How about that?
Yeah. Now, we're so worldly-minded. We're counting on retirement.
Yes, sir.
Most of my friends ain't retired, no.
I don't know any that's retired.
Old something just died. And we had to take up the money to bury it. So what? One thing about me, they won't have to haul me far. All my people buried just about 25 blocks from that church, and so there we go. Jesus had his mind on the world. The Bible said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that God would sit on a throne and think about that man and think about saving that man, providing all he needs? What is man? I don't know. I know who God is, and he's thinking about me. Hallelujah. I want to give you this, please, in Hebrews 2:14. Jesus had his mind on the enemy. He come to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he said. He came to bruise his head. That's what he come for. I mean, this thing was a death struggle between God Almighty and the enemy. He recognized the enemy. And we'll tell you something. He came. He came to completely conquer the devil. And that's exactly what he did. I can see him take that stinger out of him. And from that day forward, the sting of death of Brother Danny's mother died at 77. She was a baby ship. My mother died just in a few days of that. And I remember going over that night. I was going to Dallas to preach a meeting. My mother was a member of my church, and I went over there. She called me. I called her back, and she called. She didn't talk. Me and her kept a real tight relationship. And she'd been a member of my church all these years. I've been a pastor. I told her when I took the church, she called me Jackie all the time. I said, Mama, when we're in the house, and you're talking to your boy, I'm Jackie boy. And Mama, when you get to the church, I'm the pastor. I said, if you can't accept that, you go somewhere else. She said, I can accept that. I never would forget. She called me that night. She said, Jackie boy? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I don't want to talk to my pastor. I don't want to talk to my pastor. I'll talk to my boy. She said, you got the candle burning both ends. She said, slow down a little bit. Now, remember, I'm talking to my boy, not my pastor. She died that night. And I went over there. And I looked at that. And I looked at them hands, how many times she whipped me. How many times them hands washed my clothes. How many times them hands come down in the jail where I sat and said, Jack, I love you. Yeah. When they see my name spread all over the front page, she'd come out anyway, make her bed again. Mama just didn't have no shame when she come to this boy. The girl said, well, Mama loves Jack more than does her. Wasn't the truth. Jack needed her more than they did. Well, they were saved to love God. You listen to me? But I looked at that body and I said, oh, death, what? Yeah. For 67 years, without ever being out of church, this old woman has been in the church of God. Yeah, trying to get some soul saved, trying to be a witness to somebody. 8 years ago, she walked over the door. She was at church Sunday with her hair made up and had it fixed that day to go somewhere to visit somebody. She was going on vacation. And she just laid down, and Papa said, she's gone. I mean, she's laid down on the couch, and she's gone. Ain't that a good way to go? Take your shoes off, job done. Lay your head down on the pillow, leave out. I stood there. Went out there to that cemetery. And Brother Umberto and his wife, I said, I want y'all to sing. And I said, Umberto, you remember this? She meant to get it. I said, when I die, you best can get up and preach. Have your wife to sing. That's the way it's going to be. I don't know Paul Bear's out of my family. But Jack, he probably won't even come. He don't go to the funeral. I don't want my boys carrying me to grave. I don't want my boys doing it. I want my Mexican brethren to carry that casket. Lord, ain't got nothing in there. I looked at that casket. That's that guy opened up. A few days later, I drove over there. I sit down on the curb. Somebody comes behind me, first thing, and said, you know, Jack, you ain't here. I know that. That's the last place I saw him. I know that you've got a lot of people. You're a good guy, you're a good guy. You go out in the morning and talk to me.
Yeah.
But the real eyes of Jesus, that's my mother. Whew. I love that old woman. She loved me when I was dirty and nasty. And the fact that Jesus said, "Hey, devil, you can sting, but the sting is gone. You can put in that grave, but you ain't going there." And I looked inside that grave and I said, "Grave, where is your victory? Where is your victory? Oh, my Lord! Oh, great! Your victory.
Glory.
Just wave your white flag." He said, "I'm sorry. But we'll meet on the other side." Somebody called me up and said, "I heard you lost your mother." I said, "You sure misunderstood. I know right where she's at." My dad told me he's about as rough as he comes. Papa was a preacher. He told me, he said, "You know, Jack, so I'll be glad to go home." I said, "You better not be glad to go home." That old woman, you get up there and slap you a couple times. Some of the foolishness you put up with. Yeah. Jesus had his mind on the enemies. Aren't you glad that our God and our Savior walked down where he is at and met him in his own fighting ground? Walked out in his territory. He said, "What you come for?" He said, "To conquer death, hell, and the grave." And when he come back again, you hear the keys are rattling on the chair. My soul. Can I close with this tonight? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind. We got some high-minded preachers tonight. Preacher, boy, don't get caught up in that. Don't get on no ego. The ego trip will kill you dead at 4 o'clock. Well, I've got the message. Lord, they just call on me to preach. I got the message. I've got it. I've got it. Oh, Lord, God knows I've got it. You've got it, but you don't know what you've got. You've got the preaching itch, and that's worse than having red mane. Not incurable. All you do is lay on a concrete like an old dog and drag yourself. Jesus had his mind. That's a God honest truth. That's a truth.
I've seen it just like worms in a dog that just drove them crazy. I'm a preacher. Wonder where I'm going to preach. Who cares?
My soul, man. If God don't want me to preach, man, my daddy raised me as a mule fan.
Yeah. All preachers, I don't think, don't know where I'm going or what. I'm just going home.
Might as well go home. You ain't got nothing.
Amen.
Well, I'm dissatisfied now. You're not near as dissatisfied as she is. Listen to all this stuff. But Jesus had his mind on that cross. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not careful. That cross is a further thing for my mind. I am crucified with Christ. And we can say this, I ain't crucified with Christ. Right? Which that's not correct English. If you can sure understand it. I ain't crucified. How can a crucified feet run off? How can a crucified mind wonder? How can a crucified hand lash out to hurt? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, God. Are you listening? God was offended. And that cross satisfied God Almighty. I don't understand that.
I got three boys here. I don't understand. How did his son be the only thing that stopped his judgment against him? And I'm telling you what, he dumped Tevin out.
Yes, sir.
Not only that men could be saved, but you and I could get them saved.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. I remember what old Jack Garner, an old preacher friend of mine, said. Little boy jumped up. He's about 12 years old in Galveston, Texas, one night with his dad. Old Jack had preached, and he went and dealt with this little boy 12 years old. And that little boy said, yes, sir, I'd really like to get saved. Old Jack dealt with him thoroughly, and this kid asked God to save him. And he said, get up and tell the congregation. He said, I want to thank God tonight that Brother Jack Garner saved me. Boy, everybody just laughed. Old Jack got up and said, this little boy don't know all the words like you do. He said, I was on the mission.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was on the mission. He said, I did visit his mother's house today, and I did talk to him about his soul today in that house. I was on the rescue team. God was offended. I'm going to tell you something. Man who's guilty. The whole world is guilty before God. Don't you start this business that them heathens don't ever hear nothing to be saved anyway. Start all that baloney. Man's guilty. Only that cross can justify. But Jesus had his mind, go see, that was the only way. That's the only way. You ain't just saved no other way. There's only one way. That's the way of the cross leads home. God! Man was guilty. Cross justified it. But death was fought and defeated at the cross. Death! Where do you stand? We're losers. Demons, devils of hell, you're losers. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I've looked at this verse of scripture many times. He said, I want you to fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. Be of one heart, one mind. God said, this is what I want you to get on your mind tonight. We as preachers and men of God in the pulpit, where is the cross? Let me just ask you a simple thing. Where is the cross in the giving? Everybody likes to explain why our church gives a big mission offering. $240,000 last year was given. That wasn't for the prison ministry. It wasn't for the prison ministry. Where's it going? One of the missionaries came to me today and said, Brother Woody, said, I've been out on deputation for so long. He told me how long it was. And I said, Brother Victor, would you please stand in the center? Victor started his work out of our church. Brother Victor, the first 4 months you were on deputation, how much you made?
Not a dime.
Traveled all the way through. Finally, called his wife one day and said, sell something while I can get back home. And they went back out on deputation. Brother Randy, you've been on this job. Outside of what your church does to you, how much money you got to support Randy? $280. He's had that ever since he's been there. See, that little church, she's got the nerve center. And they watch these boys. Brother Bobby Cox, you've been working in a prison. He's got the whole prison. He just works there, brother. When he goes down death row, he works anywhere he wants to. Brother Bobby, how much support you got inside your church? That old church, she'll reach down and get whatever we need. Them kind of, you don't have to worry about them kind of, and you don't have to think this is an awesome place. But I'm just, what I'm trying to tell you, I've been knowing this boy since then. How long have you been out of Mexico in this year? 8 years. How many years before? This is common amongst us, so we're not taking it long. It's just common.
just common. $400 or $500 in Mexico, that's just common. Unless you're a gringo. But they need more, you know, they got some beautiful, you know, the Mexicans are nice to live here. You know that, don't you? You got that much sense to know it. Two people live in the same town, they're going to live in cheaper house. They cut the lights off, the gas off, everything else.
Free. That's what I'm trying to do.
Amen.
But this is sober. So when you look at these men, and I told Randy, you're going down with the street, and hey, you're not checking them off the weekend. You're not checking them off nobody. I'm just telling you, if you serve God the way we're doing it, as Independent Baptists, you're going to have to give. You say, well, I don't know why these churches don't help me. Because they ain't seen you sacrifice yet.
Amen.
Hey, let them see you wave through blood like this. That's just you. There's a knock on my door the other night, on Christmas night. I went to the door, and there was a messenger brought me $2,000. Woo! $2,000 if you got the check. Here comes $2,000. Here comes $500. Well, when I saw the morning, I said, wow. It ain't hard for me to give away other people's money.
Yeah.
You might as well get this missionary. Might as well get it. Oh, Brother Phil's been with me. Phil, how long have you been with me?
7 years.
He's just in jail. The people in our country, they don't want to force him to jail. Amen. How much support you got? Don't tell nobody. Nothing. You don't have one church. You know what this big Safeway told him in Houston? Said, Phil, you resigned your job. $600 a week. That's very foolish. His daddy-in-law agreed with him wholeheartedly. He said, y'all will all start it. But he said, we want you to know, Phil, you've been one of our top men in Safeway. And if you ever want to come back, we'll meet you with open arms. Do you know that Safeway in Houston went bankrupt and there's not one store there?
Right.
And he ain't been gone for 3 years. And they told Randy, he said, come on back. You're the top man here in Weingarten. You're the hot shot man for Weingarten. Running one in big stores. He said, this thing don't work out in Mormon land. You just come on back. Weingarten went broke after he came out. And you believe God's going to take care of your salary, your children, your family. Amen. Weingarten died. Safeway died. But God tonight is much alive. So why don't you just wrap your mind up, tear into heaven, lay it at God's feet, and say, God, give me the mind of God. Let's pray. Why don't you pray, sir? I'm not here to be ugly. I'm not here to be unkind. I've preached like this in my own church. I don't know how to preach any other way. I've been invited here. I've been asked to preach. and I've done all I know to do. But I'm telling you, to have the mind of God about that church and that work, that ministry, and quit twisting your hands and running your hands and pulling your hair and building up pressure and tension in your home that will destroy your children and make them wish they'd never heard of preaching. And lay that thing at God's feet and say, Lord, here I am. I want God's mind about this thing. Lord, you do the work. I'm here. I'm available. And serve the Lord. And quit taking so many seminars until you're about seminared out. And find out what God wants you to do. Get you a jug of water and get out somewhere in a house and just find God. And ask God what He'd have you to do as an individual. And you'll hear these sweet words. And have the same mind. You say that's so simple. Everything God's got so simple. Most times it's so simple we miss it. Father, speak to some heart here tonight. Deal with some young man. Deal with some young preacher. Some missionary. He's twisting his hands and scratching his face and pulling his hair. And God, why do I have to go through this? And remember that our Lord went through everything. None of it made sense to me. Now, Lord, you speak. You have your own will and way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Page 404 in your songbook.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus?
Say this tonight. Jesus healed that maniac. I guess the greatest thing to me, not only was he saved, somehow that was a restful spirit came in that man's life. That was a restful spirit. Now, I've fought that thing like the rest of you have. I'm not saying you can take it in a one-dose deal. I've asked God through here, deliver me from that. Deliver me from wringing my hands and biting my fingernails. And God, deliver me from that. I don't want that in my life, and I know God don't want it in your life or my life or no. But the greatest thing, not that this man was changed, not that he was clothed in his right mind, not at all that he had communion with God, but hey, this man had rest in his soul. Here's a crazy man. A mad man. He's got rest in his soul. He's sitting there talking over with his Lord.
I'd like to go with you. You go home. He went home. When the Lord went by there, multitudes believed. We need to find some folk today. We've been so hyped up about everything. My wife said, you know, Jack, I don't understand this. And she's a godly woman. She said, every time God wants us to have something, he gives it to us. And she said, and you can't take any credit for it, or nobody else can take any. He said, he's just, that is. That's why we got that building where we're at. Beautiful building. I mean, God gave us that building. We prayed 11 years. 11 years we cried, Lord, give us a bit. He did. We cried out to God, give us a youth camp, 40 acres to camp on. We just cried. I need them other 2 acres. We just cried over them 2 acres. Guys, I'll take $250,000. Man, on a four-way street now. I said, Lord, I need that thing. I need that thing. They said, we'll take $150,000. And finally, they said, would you make an offer? I'll give you $100,000 for it, no interest for 10 years. Said you bought it, we want rid of it. I mean, God just gave us that 2 acre land. I could sell the little corner off of it for a shop or whatever. I ain't selling one inch of it. It belongs to God. God gave it. God gave us that Mexican church there. Last Sunday they had 600 people in that Mexican church. 20-some people got saved. Brother Bill, you preach that. You go back that day preaching, brother. Them people coming down them aisles getting saved, brother. He preached over that Thanksgiving week, or the week before Thanksgiving, get 20 out of saved down in the church. There's a little push day that they had 1,000, right at 1,000. Like about 10, having 1,000 people. They had this one here in a tent, had a big tent up. 300 people in the tent. My wife said she just wanted to drive over and look at it. And it's just wall-to-wall messages. My wife said that's the beautiful sight I've ever seen. And I mean, they had a big tent up in them tortillas and hot tamales and everything. Oh, I mean, I had myself a time, boy. I'm getting hungry now. But God gave that thing. My soul. Now I got 14 men. We don't have a building, but we've got a rescue mission. And boy, somebody went down last Sunday, just on the parking lot, handed out the mail, and said 600 people walked out there and sat down. They preached to them while Dan was passing out the mail. 600 sinners. You said people just won't come anymore. Bill's your fire, man. He said, you can't get into a jail. They're calling us. We ain't calling them. We ain't going to the jail ministry. God picked this bunch of nuts up and put them in. Bobby drives down on the prison farm. Preacher, they finally open the back door. Goes outside, all the trusty cattle, all the horse barns, all the cow barns, all the 9,000 acres. Go where you want to. Win anybody to God you want to. Ain't never happened in Texas. You know what got that? That warden got sick. But then went busy. Them guards get sick. Brother Bobby go see them in the hospital. Another day, one of them old guards come in there and fix and lose his home. He said, Bobby, fix and lose my home. He said, but I love this woman. He said, man, you're crazy. That ain't your wife. He said, I'll tell you what you did. A little Baptist church somewhere, you got awakened. And that man went home and God drove that thing in his heart. He'd come back the next morning, smile that day. He said, Bobby, I got saved. Oh, man, we're talking about something real tonight. Didn't come out of no funny book. Let's pray. Such a crowd in here tonight. I want to pray with you. Folks, we've seen enough of this phony baloney stuff. Amen. We're old-fashioned Baptists. Amen. We believe God can do anything. Yes. Yeah, we believe God. If you think he didn't build this mission board, you're out of your mind. Yes. Homer Smith, he ain't no more got sense enough to build this mission board I have. We ain't got sense enough to do nothing. Nah, who cares? I'll tell you what God can do. God can build anything he wants to, and he don't need no intellectual giant to run it. Because I'll tell you about God, all he needs is a mail carrier to carry the mail for him. That's all he needs. He can do it himself. Father, these people sure have been attentive, and they've listened. They've praised God all night. We thank you for it. But Lord, tonight I pray for some young men here. That there'd be some illumination put upon their hearts and minds. That the biggest need today is not to have more knowledge, but to know God more and more better every day. God, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.